everybody. Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the Enquirer studio with podcast producer Phil Didion. And it is officially game week in Cincinnati. The preseason is over, and now it is time to talk about the Bengals and their season opening matchup against the New England Patriots. And this is a matchup where there is so many unknowns on both sides of the ball for both teams, which makes this a unique matchup. These teams don't face each other often. They played 2 years ago on Christmas Eve in a chilly, chilly game up in New England. But this time around, it's at Paycor Stadium, and there has been a lot that's changed from that most recent meeting. Mostly that the Patriots moved on from Bill Belichick, and there's a whole new regime in New England. And to get us prepared for the game, I'm going to bring on my friend and team reporter, Tamara Brown, for the New England Patriots. And she's going to get us prepped on all of the things we should know about the Patriots, having been at practice every day and followed every game in the preseason. So here is my conversation with Tamara Brown.
It is finally regular season, and for week one, I'm excited to bring in one of my friends and Patriots team reporter, Tamara Brown. And I think even though the Patriots have played the Bengals recently, this is our first time doing a podcast together, right?
Yeah, it's our very first time. I think the last time they played was 2 seasons ago here at Gillette Stadium. So yeah, really cold, and a lot has changed about this Patriots team since then.
Yeah, so I mean, you just said it, but usually Bengals week one, I feel like I know a lot about their opponent, but because of so much has changed in New England, I am excited for you to dive in and tell me what to expect from this matchup on Sunday. So let's start with just what have been the biggest changes you've noticed with the new head coach and just the whole team atmosphere now with this new regime?
Yeah, everything's different. I mean, the head coach is different, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. So I feel like we're all a bit like going into this game, like, what are we going to see from both sides? Because Alex Van Pelt hasn't called plays since 2009 in Buffalo. And DeMarcus Covington, this is going to be his first time as a defensive coordinator calling plays. So we're like, okay, what are we going to see on both sides? What we keep referring back to is AVP and Jacoby Brissett, both with the Browns the last time they played the Bengals. We're wondering if they're going to draw up a similar script to that. Because so far we haven't seen anything with this Patriots offense because it's the preseason, you know, and no one's really showing all their cards yet. So if there's one thing that we can predict about this team is that they're going to have to run the ball effectively. Right now, the offensive line is very much under construction. The status of Bedarian Lowe, left tackle, and left guard, as well as City So, both very unknown going into this game on Sunday. So we're a bit concerned with what the offensive line is going to look like, which means the protection for Jacoby Brissett might be kind of rough, which means they might be leaning on Ramondre Stevenson to run the ball a lot like what they did with Nick Chubb 2 years ago when they played the Bengals with Jacoby Brissett. He had 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's going to be something to look at in this game is the Patriots are going to try to run the ball a lot, especially with these offensive line issues.
Well, that's interesting because for the Bengals, it sounds like it could be a big day for Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson coming off of the edge. But one of the biggest question marks I have about this Bengals team is what is their run defense going to look like? They moved on from DJ Reader. He signed with the Detroit Lions in free agency, and they have a couple of players that they think can fill the hole in the middle and be their main, you know, players against the run. But it's going to be, we'll wait and see, because, you know, in training camp, you can't really gauge how good the starting run defense is because they're not tackling in practice. So I think that I'm glad that you brought that up, because I know, having covered the Bengals now for a while, when AVP was in Cleveland, the Bengals coaching staff has a lot of respect for him and the job that he did. So I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup. You brought up the offensive line and Jacoby Brissett. Before we move on to the defense, I wanted to pick your brain more about, even though he's not going to play or unless something happens to Jacoby Brissett, the decision to not start Drake May. I want to bring up something to you that I thought Joe Burrow said that was really interesting in Chicago. So the Bengals had a joint practice against the Bears, And a lot of the Chicago reporters came to Joe's press conference after to ask him about being a number one overall pick and coming in and making an impact right away. And Joe said that he never understood why, when you get picked that high, and I'm assuming he probably means the top five, and the plan is for you to become the franchise starter for a long time. He said he never understood why coaches made them wait, because he said every rep is valuable to you. And he said you learn so much. And yes, of course, you're learning in practice and behind veteran quarterbacks, but he made it seem like those game reps he got, whether it was good or bad for him, really helped him accelerate his progression into the NFL. And it's kind of hard to argue with him, because the Bengals, when they drafted him with the number one overall pick, they handed him the keys and said, this is your offense. And I know that he might have been a little bit more proven than May coming out of UNC was, but still, the Bengals offensive line wasn't, you know, anything amazing at that point. So why do you think that the Patriots have decided to not start their top draft pick that they envision being their franchise quarterback for years to come?
Kelsey, it's funny that you bring up Joe Burrow and the offensive line that he had that wasn't that great, and he still was able to find success behind them. I bring that up a lot on our Patriots Unfiltered podcast here. I'm like, offensive lines in the NFL are not always perfect. They're not all going to be like the Detroit Lions and be a brick wall and, you know, pass protection be amazing. It's not always going to be perfect. And that's why you like having a guy like Drake May, who has that mobility, who has that those great tools in his tool belt that allow him to be much more than just a pocket passer. So I think it has a lot to do with the offense as a whole, the new offense that ABP is installing. Jacoby Brissett has familiarity with it. I think he has familiarity with playing the Browns, going on the road against a Jets team that they're going to face on the road in 2 weeks. So I think it probably has to do with strength of schedule. The Patriots' first four games are a little bit rough. The new offense being installed, and then also just Jacoby Brissett has 9 years in the league. There's so much tape on him. There's so much they know about him. Whereas Drake May, they want to fix his mechanics. They want to fix his feet. They want to make sure that, you know, he transitions well into the NFL, especially when you're coming off a situation with Mac Jones where he was your first round pick and you see now he's in Jacksonville. So I think it's a little bit of new head coach, new general manager, new offensive coordinator, just trying to tread the water lightly here. But I will say, the leap that Drake May did from those reps that Joe Burrow mentioned, as you saw Drake May get more reps in those preseason two and preseason three games, you saw how great good he did. I mean, even Jerod Mayo said, hey, these last 2 weeks, Drake May has outplayed Jacoby Brissett. But he said when he looked at the overall the overall summer, like from OTAs till now, he said, when you look at the whole picture, Jacoby Brissett has had a better offseason. So they went with Jacoby Brissett. But when you look at those last 2 weeks specifically, Drake May absolutely outplayed Jacoby Brissett. So I don't hate the decision. I think when you weigh the long term and short term benefits right now, especially with the offensive line, also, you know, Joe Burrow, he had Ja'Marr Chase. He has T. Higgins. He has an outstanding wide receiver core. Here, they're still trying to find that wide receiver one. That's another reason why, too, I think they're going to lean on that run game on Sunday, is because right now we have two rookie wide receivers in that room. Tyquan Thornton, who has not been healthy to start a season, he's finally healthy. They added K.J. Osborne from the Vikings, but they don't have that top dog. Like, you guys probably have technically two guys who are top dogs in your wide receiver room. So I think this team has a lot about the offense that they're still trying to learn. And while they do iron out those edges, Jacoby Brissett is the right guy.
Well, we shall see if one of those top dogs is suiting up for the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, because the Ja'Marr Chase story is still very much ongoing here in Cincinnati. So before we pivot to the defense, I wanted to just follow up on what you actually just said. And that is, if I am just wanting to learn a couple of things before this game, as far as the Patriots' top receiving target, it doesn't have to be a receiver, it could be a tight end. Who do you think I should circle ahead of Sunday's game to pay attention to that could be Jacoby Brissett's number one receiving target on Sunday?
Hunter Henry. Like, As soon as you started the question, I said Hunter Henry in my head immediately. He's such a good tight end for the Patriots. He's a got-to-have-it guy. He's been, I would say, the glue of this offense the past couple of years. No matter how up and down they've been, you know you can always count on Hunter Henry. He did have a little bit of availability issues this summer for about a week or two, but he did return to practice last week. So I feel like we have, you know, a little bit less to worry about there, but the tight end room did get thin for I want to say 2 to 3 weeks of camp, where we're kind of like, what's going on? Hooper went down, Mitchell Wilcox went down, who they ended up letting go. But Hunter Henry, I would say he's a guy who's been on this team for many years. He was a captain last year. He's so reliable and consistent. And I think that if there's going to be a guy they're looking at, especially a team like this, who's going to want to use two tight ends out there on the field most of the time, Hunter Henry is your go-to guy.
Okay, well, I'm very familiar with that name because I believe it was last year he was someone I thought that the Bengals could be interested in signing in free agency, but he landed in New England. All right, let's switch the other side of the ball. Talk to me about the Patriots defense, because before Matthew Judon got traded to Atlanta, I would have said, that's your guy. And the minute he did get traded, I said, well, that's good for the Bengals, because one of the question marks for Cincinnati heading into this game is right tackle. And obviously, you know very well about Trent Brown, but Amarius Mims, he looked like he was going to win the job, and then he got injured with a pec strain. So it's looking like it's going to be Trent Brown, because Mims is still working his way back onto the field. So tell me about the Patriots defense. Who do I need to be paying attention to prior to Sunday? And who are some of the players that you think could make a big impact in this game?
I definitely think this is going to have to be a huge game for Christian Gonzalez, a rookie first-round pick from last year. He's returning from his shoulder injury this year. I think this is obviously going to be a big game for him. Whether Ja'Marr Chase plays or not, between him and Jonathan Jones, they're going to be on T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. So I think that for them, they're going to have a good game. It can't be a situation where, you know, they're getting beat all day long. And I think this would be a good test for them, especially when you're playing, you know, Miami Dolphins twice and you have, you know, great elite talent in their wide receiver rooms as well. This is going to be a good test to see where the Patriots secondary is. But to be honest, it's all going to start up front. What you brought up, Matthew Judon, also Christian Barmore dealing with blood clots. He's not able to play either. Mm-hmm. So when you lose, when you don't have those two guys who you expected to have on your front five, I think there's a lot to worry about, because how are you going to get pressure on Joe Burrow, who had 375 yards on the Patriots 2 years ago? So it's going to be interesting for me. I think when you, like I said, a new defensive coordinator in DeMarcus Covington, how is he going to scheme this up when you're trying to find guys to replace Barmore and Judon? I'm looking at probably Anfernee Jennings potentially being in the mix a lot more this year with Judon out. Obviously, it's going to have to rely on Jelani Tavai and Juwan Bentley, linebackers. It's going to be a full team effort. I think it's not going to be one guy that's going to be able to fill Judon's void. It's going to be two or three guys that are going to have to step in there and play really, really well. So I'm just, honestly, I don't even have the words for how I can describe how concerned I am about this defensive front, but I'm just going to trust they're going to scheme up something great, because between Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington, they have great defensive minds. I know Brian Belichick and Steve Belichick aren't here anymore, but I think they've played alongside of, they played for Bill, and they've also been coaching underneath him for years now. I have no doubt in my mind they'll come up with a great plan, but I'll be interesting to see which personnel that they use.
That's what I was going to ask. Is Jerod Mayo calling the defense, or is it DeMarcus Covington?
Well, it's DeMarcus Covington. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do. Because I'm like, you know, Judon was the guy that you want to double team. Between him and Christian Barmore, those are the two guys you circle on the line. You have to worry about them getting to the quarterback. But now that they're gone, I'm like, okay, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Anfernee Jennings, Jelani Tavai, you know, Juwan Bentley? You know, they have a lot of experience. Josh Uche as well. It's going to be interesting, because some of those guys, they're only third down guys, or you might see them like, you know, once in a series. But now these guys are going to have to play way more reps with Judon and Barmore not playing. So I think it's going to be an eye-opening game for everybody, and we're going to learn a lot about this defense against this really great Bengals offense.
There's so many good storylines in this game because of how much new there is with the Patriots and the Bengals. There's a lot of questions about what they're going to look like, is for the first time Joe Burrow has been healthy in a training camp. And You expect the Bengals offense to look like it typically does when he's healthy, but I know that they've added a lot of wrinkles. Mike Gesicki, someone who was in New England that you're definitely familiar with as well. So I think based off of not knowing a whole lot about what New England's going to look like and then just waiting to see what Cincinnati's, all these new wrinkles on offense, is going to look like. I mean, they're starting two new running backs this year in Zach Moss and Chase Brown. So I think this game, although there's not a lot of star on star one-on-one matchups, I think there's still a lot of interesting storylines in this game. And I'm really looking forward to watching it on Sunday and then recapping it all with you. So I will let you go get on with the rest of your Wednesday. But Tamara, thank you so much for joining me. And those listening that want to learn more about the Patriots heading into Sunday's game, be sure to follow Tamara. She does an amazing job covering the Patriots. And I love any chance to get to talk to her.
Thanks, Kelsey, for having me.
All right. Thanks so much to Tamara for joining me in talking about this matchup. And we'll get into more storylines as the week goes on. But right now, we are still on Ja'Marr Chase watch. That it remains the biggest storyline for the Cincinnati Bengals because it is Wednesday. And Wednesdays are typically when the team puts in the game plan and installs what they plan to do on Sunday. So if Ja'Marr is not practicing, that's going to be significant. There would still be a couple more days where the Bengals and Chase could still reach a contract extension, but his status for Sunday is certainly still up in the air. And we'll see what Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow have to say about what's going on with Chase later today. But that remains the biggest storyline for this team. Some other notes heading into Sunday's game. Amarius Mims, the Bengals' first round pick, returned to the practice field on Monday. He was still unable to do a full capacity of work at practice as the Bengals ease him back onto the field. But Mims said that he feels good and he's excited to get back on the field. It looks like Trent Brown is still going to get the start against his former team, but encouraging sign that Mims is back on the practice field after missing a couple weeks with a pec strain. And as far as other injuries, the Bengals look like they're in pretty good shape from a starting standpoint other than Mims. So we will see how the rest of the week goes. The final injury report comes out on Friday, but it looks like the Bengals pretty much know who they're going to have on Sunday other than Ja'Marr Chase. So as always, be sure to keep it at Cincinnati.com for the latest on your Cincinnati Bengals. We'll be following all the storylines heading into Sunday's game. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast.